This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And now it's time to check in on the state of science.
This is KERA
for WWNO,
St. Louis Public Radio,
Iowa Public Radio News.
Local science stories of national significance. In recent years, there's been a lot of attention paid to ever drier conditions in the western U.S. Less snow, less rain, increased chance of wildfire. But a changing climate isn't only affecting the West Coast. The Great Plains are seeing increasing dryness also, and with that comes threats to agriculture, loss of vital topsoil, and increased risks of fires. Elizabeth Rembert is a reporter for Nebraska Public Media and Harvest Public Media based in Lincoln. Welcome to Science Friday, Elizabeth.
Hi, Ira. It's so great to be here.
Nice to have you. I know that you've been reporting on that dryness, and it's part of the Great Plains weather cycle, but this year it's even worse. Just how bad is it?
Yes, it is a bad year. So dryness is a part of life in the Great Plains. Like you said, it's a part of the natural cycle. Climatologists say that we're always operating on a spectrum where extreme wetness is at one end and extreme dryness is at the other. And the amount of snow or rain that you get throughout a year and the temperatures factor in to put you somewhere on that spectrum. But this year, starting in about October, the region didn't get enough snow or rain to get that good moisture into the soil.
So would you call it a drought at this point?
Yes. Brian Fuchs, a climatologist with the National Drought Mitigation Center, said that those dry conditions in the winter, they weren't a surprise, but then they continued building to establish a deep drought that we're seeing now.
We had a tremendously dry winter through much of the plains, and that was not unexpected, but we really didn't understand last fall what the extent of that dryness was going to be.
Brian Fuchs said that it's the worst drought year since 2012, and in 2012, the Great Plains region saw more than $35 billion in losses because of that drought.
Wow, that's 10 years ago. And that dryness has caused wildfires, right?
Yes. The dryness of the soil hasn't allowed the new green, moist growth to get out of the ground. And so there's a lot of dry, dead grass out there. And many states in the Great Plains are also seeing extremely high, intense winds. Oklahoma clocked its windiest April since 1994. And those are the perfect conditions for wildfires, that dryness, the windiness. And in Nebraska, tens of thousands of acres have burned, and two fire chiefs have actually lost their lives fighting those blazes.
Oh, that's terrible. Now, I know what from looking at farms, sometimes they have bales of hay out there, right, on the fields. Do they catch fire also?
Yes. A colleague of mine spoke to one volunteer firefighter, and he remembered a scene going up to help fight a fire that was coming to a house. And he drove up a road, and on both sides of the road, there were bales of hay, and every single one of those hay bales was on fire. So farmers and ranchers are losing those hay bales, but then they're also losing just the grassland. And that's where they put their cattle out to eat the grass. That's where they get their food. And if they don't have that grassland, then they don't have enough food for their cattle. And that leads ranchers to sell off cattle before they plant, probably for a lower price. When my colleague spoke to that same farmer, he talked about how he's been fighting the blazes, but then also helping farmers and ranchers with the aftermath by organizing hay donations for farmers who need help.
So they lost their pasture ground. They lost their bales that were in the yards and in the ranches. All of it's gone. It's hard to understand that. But for those farmers, they lost their entire inventory of feed.
Wow, that's tough to hear. And I imagine a lot of those farmers have been in this business for years, right? They've never seen anything like this, at least for a decade.
Yeah, I spoke to one farmer who said that this was the driest spring that he's ever seen in his nearly 40 years of farming. And that even beats 2012. When he was putting seeds in the ground a few weeks back, he said that this was the least optimistic that he'd ever felt putting seeds into the ground.
You reported that dryness isn't new for the plains. We talked about that, and farmers have learned some tricks to deal with it. Tell us what they are.
Yeah, drought-resistant crops have gained a lot of traction in the region, especially since the 2012 drought when farmers were hit with that extreme dryness. Drought-resistant crops are seeds that have been bred to thrive even when the rains don't come. Other conservation practices can also be helpful to protect soil from erosion by those extremely high, intense winds. Farmers will reduce the amount that they till, which means that they're not plowing over the soil as much. And then sometimes they'll also plant crops between the growing seasons, and that helps keep the soil down as well. One farmer that I spoke to said that if he wasn't doing those conservation practices, he thought that if you put a black and white filter on a picture of his farm, it would look like something out of the 1930s Dust Bowl.
Wow, Grapes of Wrath back again. Is it getting to that point?
There have been some recent rains in this region, which have been helpful. But remember what Brian Fuchs said, that climatologist, that these conditions have been building since October. So even a few recent rains isn't enough to completely satisfy that deep rain deficit that the region is facing.
Wow. As you say, farmers saying this is the worst that they can remember. Are they doing anything differently this time compared to previous years?
One farmer in Nebraska said that this season he did something that he has never done before, which is he turned on his irrigation system even before he put seeds into the ground, before he went through the planting process. Other farmers might also be increasing their crop insurance, which guarantees some payment if the crops don't come up.
Is this true of the whole state? I mean, is the whole state under these kinds of conditions?
Most of the state, yes. It gets better the further east that you go. And it's actually, it's kind of an interesting situation right now, because once you cross the Missouri River into Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, those farmers are actually complaining that they're getting too much moisture. Fields are too soaked, and they haven't been able to get out into the fields planting. So it's, like I said, the two extremes. One.
Wow.
Across the Missouri River, you're at one end, you're at a completely different on the western side of the state.
This climate change is a crazy thing. These farmers and ranchers' lives, their homes and their incomes are all dependent, right, on the weather. I imagine that's incredibly stressful to them as you're talking to them. How are they holding up?
Yeah, a lot of people say that drought is probably the most stressful thing that a farmer or rancher can go through. I mean, these are people who stay in this profession because they love the process of being in the soil, putting a plant in, and then maybe it's a corn seed. They're putting a corn seed in and then watching it grow into the beautiful green stalk and then that picture-perfect yellow cob that we all picture. So it can be really challenging if you do that investment and then you go out into your fields and you see patches where the plant hasn't even come up, or you see patches of those dry, dead plants. But farmers and ranchers are also practical, and they say that their whole job is about these variables and adapting to the variables. So I think that they're feeling a little bit discouraged, but they are still praying for rain and ready to make changes if they need to.
Yeah, because I would imagine they can expect more of the same in the future, and they have to get used to that and adapt.
Yeah, scientists say that some factors of climate change, like higher temperatures, which can evaporate moisture more quickly, or we're seeing long spells of dryness offset by less frequent but more intense rainfalls. Those types of factors can push dryness into drought. And so it is a gradual change, and I think farmers are always watching their fields and the weather conditions, and they're ready to adapt. Maybe they're expecting to use more drought-resistant crops or conservation practices in the future to adapt to those changing conditions.
All right. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for the time.
Elizabeth Rembert is a reporter for Nebraska Public Media and Harvest Public Media based in Lincoln. And you can read her reporting on this topic on her website, sciencefriday.com/dryplains.